is Jonathan Fogel, and you are listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel. I'm at Citizens Bank Park. I'm with Herman Mihalich, the founder of Dad Hats Distillery in Pennsylvania, maker of a wonderful rye whiskey, and we're at the Pennsylvania Spirits Convention to talk about their new rye whiskey just announced today. And we're standing actually outside on the balcony of an absolutely gorgeous baseball stadium.
Yeah, we're here at the baseball stadium for the Phillies, and we're here to talk about our rye whiskey we make right here in Pennsylvania with a recipe that comes back from the 1800s, and we're bringing it back to where rye whiskey was born here in Pennsylvania.
So let's begin, first of all, with the proper pronunciation of your name.
Well, depending on where you're from, if you're from Pittsburgh, you'll say Mihalich. If you're from New England, you'll say Mihalich. In the Mid-Atlantic, it's usually Mihalich.
Now, Pittsburgh figures largely into your history, right?
Yeah, that's right. I grew up in the Pittsburgh area. My grandfather started a speakeasy along the Monongahela River outside of Pittsburgh in the 20s, and that grew into our family business, which was a tavern in a little town called Manesson, Pennsylvania.
You told me there was a still in the basement, but it wasn't about to be put into use because that would threaten a liquor license, right?
That's correct. We had an old still that we used to use for decoration. I think at one point in time, my grandfather probably played around on it. My father used to play around on it. But when we had the bar in operation, that was more for conversation than anything else.
So let's talk about your path from Pittsburgh to the present.
Well, I mean, I grew up in the Pittsburgh area, but actually my roots are pretty deep here in Philadelphia. In the 1970s, I came out here to go to school at the University of Pennsylvania. That's where I met my current business partner, John Cooper. And we spent most of our careers in corporate America in various capacities. And in 2006, we saw an article in the New York Times that said that rye whiskey was going to make a comeback. And that, of course, caught my attention because my father and grandfather were rye whiskey lovers from the Western Pennsylvania area. And we decided that it would be fun to bring whiskey back to its roots here in Pennsylvania. And at first, it was a bit of a joke, but we got more serious about it. So in 2009, we actually wrote a business plan and raised money and started up in operations in 2011.
Herman, when we first met, it was at the American Homebrew Convention over at the Philadelphia Convention Center. And I asked you, was this an expensive proposition? And I think you said, well, what do you think it cost? And I said, I don't know, maybe $250,000. And I think you said,
that's not nearly enough. It's, you know, it's basically a lot more than that from a capital point of view. And when you're making whiskey, it becomes even more important from a working capital point of view because you have to put whiskey in barrels, and that's basically putting cash away. So you're talking about well over seven figures, both in capital and additional working capital as well.
So when you have to pour millions of dollars into a startup and you don't get any cash flow back for several years at the minimum, right? How do you sustain it during that time?
Very generous investors. We have, John and I have been fortunate that our investing group is basically guys we went to college with, guys that we went to University of Pennsylvania with in the 70s, who've done very well and understand the business model we're working under. They understand we're doing brand development. Our strategy is to develop the value of our brand. And, you know, it doesn't give us license to waste their money. But we think wisely. We're putting it into the marketing and also into the inventory and building our rye whiskey for the future.
Whiskey is undergoing a radical transformation. I think that if you ask somebody if one of the most highly rated whiskeys in the world would be made in Japan, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, people thought you were crazy, but that's the reality, right? Yep. And are you also exporting your whiskey to other countries?
Yes, we are. We work with a company in France who imports our whiskey into Europe. They're called La Maison de Whiskey. They import us into France and redistribute us across Europe and now into Asia. We're in India, in Australia, in Indonesia, Malaysia, and Singapore.
Are you finding the Pennsylvania regulatory framework as well as the red tape you have to get through reasonable, or has it changed since you started the venture?
It's been reasonable. I mean, the red tape is red tape, and as long as you follow instructions and fill out the forms correctly, you're fine. I mean, a lot of people like to throw stones at the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. They've been very helpful to us. We're now in 300 stores in across Pennsylvania. They've been a great partner for us to grow our business, and they were very happy to have a locally produced product to put on the shelves here in Pennsylvania.
And you started off with one whiskey, right?
That's correct. We started off with what we call our classic rye. It's a fairly young whiskey aged in 15-gallon barrels. We now have added to that, including the most recent product we're bringing out, which is a straight whiskey aged over 3 years, more like 3.5 years in 53-gallon barrels. and it's a more sophisticated, more elaborated whiskey than the our classic, which I think is very good. But this is a new product that I think is going to be very popular.
And you have a third whiskey, right?
We have two other whiskeys, actually, that are finished in... we take the whiskey out of the new oak, and we finish them in barrels that were used to make, in one case, sweet vermouth, and in another case, port wine. So port wine finishing is something that's done quite often in Scotland. But the vermouth finishing was something that was very unique, and we think we're the only whiskey in the world aged in sweet vermouth barrels.
Let's talk about the difference between a straight rye whiskey and your classic rye whiskey. The assumption is that you're not blending neutral spirits with your classic. It's still a pure straight whiskey, right?
A straight whiskey has a very specific designation, legal designation, with the federal government. A straight whiskey must be aged at least 2 years in new oak barrels, and you're not allowed to add anything else to it except water. You can't add caramel color to it. You can't add any flavors to it. So our straight whiskey that we label as straight is over 2 years and now, in fact, over 3 years old, aged in 53-gallon barrels. Our classic rye is also just aged in barrels, nothing else added to it except water, but it's not aged for at least 2 years old. It's under one-year-old whiskey in 15-gallon barrels. So it's a brighter, spicier, younger whiskey, whereas the straight whiskey is older, a little rounder, a little more complex.
Are you finding that there's a preference for all three? Do your typical customers buy a variety of whiskeys, or do they tend to stick to one?
It depends on what you're using it for. Our straight whiskey is something going to be more of a sipper, a slow sipper. Our classic rye goes great in cocktails. I mean, it's a great cocktail whiskey for Manhattans and old fashions, so we find a lot of people using it for that. But I enjoy it on the rocks as well. And the vermouth finish and the port bit finishes are very unique, and I think people mostly enjoy those as sippers as well.
Herman, you've racked up some awards, haven't you?
Yeah, we were our classic rye was named Craft Whiskey of the Year for 2016 by Whiskey Advocate magazine. And most recently, we were nominated for a James Beard Award, which is a very high honor.
Herman, where can our listeners find out more information about your whiskeys and then Pennsylvania distilleries in general?
Well, in our whiskey, we have a website, dadshatrye.com, which has a lot of information about what we make and how we make it. We are building, the Pennsylvania Distillers Guild is building a new website, which is not yet ready, but we've formed a organization among the various distilleries across the state, a growing number, and we call it the Pennsylvania Distillers Guild. We will have a website in the coming months, which will give you information about all the different websites, all the different distilleries located across the state.
Herman, thanks a lot for spending time with us today. It's really been a pleasure.
My pleasure as well. It's really nice to see you again.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harris Fogel. You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio, available on the web at www.maceditionradio.com. The contents are copyright 2017 and may not be used without written permission.